Welcome to this offensive one.
Welcome back to this offensive wine. This is the week 2 review. We're going to do some news, review the games that were in week 2, and then give you a Thursday night preview of the Giants and the 49ers. First of all, quite a lot of news is broken today. So let's start with one of the hot topics. The Chicago Bears defensive coordinator, Alan Williams, resigned from his position. He put out a statement that said he was taking a step back to take care of his health and family, which is rather unsettling, especially because there was an inaccurate report that was shared on X, which said that the FBI raided his house and that former Bears player, Peanut Tillman, who is currently an FBI agent, is legit, informed the management of the team what they had found, which apparently quite dodgy. Now, that Ian Rappaport has come out and said it's not true, so we're going to say it seems to be someone just making up clickbait for the hell of it, but it's a very interesting one there. We'll see what happens. Alan Williams says he's going to come back to coaching, but it seems unlikely at this stage. Cam Akers was traded to the Minnesota Vikings from the Rams after falling out with Sean McVay again. Who knows what's happened there, because he doesn't. But the Minnesota Vikings are taking Cam Akers for a late round 2026 conditional pick swap, which basically means it's a free transfer. Now, he reunites with his former offensive coordinator, Kevin O'Connell, and hopefully he's able to provide a better output than Alexander Mattison, because he did not play well on Thursday night. Now, even though he didn't play well on Thursday night and he had a fumble, it doesn't mean that the people who abused him on social media with the disgusting things that they had to say, it's not on. I don't care how bad you are in your game. There's no need for that. It's unacceptable, and they need to have a word with themselves, because it's just not on. And lastly, in the news, London. Now, the NFL and Tottenham have agreed a new deal, which will see two games played at the stadium through the 2029-2030 season. That's another 7 years that we've got going on there, which is a great accomplishment. But it feels like a nightmare for the Jags, because they have apparently angered their fan base in Jacksonville. There was a report that came out that said 47% of residents didn't want to put any money towards funding for a new stadium, even if it meant losing the team. Obviously, the Jacksonville Jaguars play at Wembley. That's where their contract is. Every year they play at Wembley. So what's going to happen there? Do they still want to come over to London and be the London Jaguars? Do they want to just have all their games at Wembley, and then we have these two additional games at Tottenham? Or are they just going to take over the Tottenham contract in 2030? It's a very weird one. However, the good news for the Jaguars is Tom Grennan has been announced as the halftime entertainment for the Wembley game, which is on the 1st of October. Now, I'm not going to that game, so it's a bit disappointing that we're not getting him in Tottenham, but I think he's going to be pretty good. I mean, compared to what they've had recently, it's not going to be hard, but it's not going to be enough to beat the halftime show of the World Bowl in 2003, which was the Sugar Babes. Okay, let's get on to the games of week 2. And let's start with Thursday night football. As I said, the Vikings didn't have a great night, and the Philadelphia Eagles were able to defeat them 34-28. And that's a scoreline that is not reflective of what actually happened on the field. The Eagles were in control for most of the game, and it didn't really look like they were going to be troubled at all. Justin Jefferson, a great game as you would expect. He was really effective when the Vikings went up-tempo, but they were down multiple scores, and they just couldn't establish the run. The Eagles smothered the Vikings. They got four fumbles, and they were only on the field for 20 minutes. It was an elite performance. Now, the Eagles are good. The secondary has some concerns. There's a lot of inexperience and there's injuries. But that's going to come. That's going to come back. The offense, not fully where you are last year. You've got your rugby play at the QB sneak. That's not going away anytime soon. But the downfield passes are still not connecting there. There was a bust up on the sidelines with AJ Brown and Jalen Hurts. It's not good. But I don't see a problem with this. I think it's going to click. Eventually it's going to get going. And they're 2-0. So it's not a problem. As long as they're winning, it's not a problem. The Vikings, I'm sorry, you're 0-2. You've got a division winner schedule. And hell, you've won games in history, at least recent history. It's always been a one-score game that you've just managed to win. And I can't see you winning a lot of those this year. Now, the interesting thing is you have the Vikings, they have the Chargers up next. The Vikings have the Chargers up next. And realistically, it's exactly the same team. So that's what's going to happen there. We're going to get a tie because they can't win. Or are both teams going to lose? This is a fascinating one. But yeah, the Eagles absolutely able to control Thursday Night Football. The Packers fell to the Falcons 25-24. What a scoreline. And really, they tripped up by their own offensive play. Jordan Love, very lucky that his attempted butt fumble was made in the early window of Week 2 and not primetime Thanksgiving game. Because that would live on in infamy. I think most people forget about that now. Both teams have strengths in this one. But the Falcons seem to make adjustments at halftime, which was enough to get, bring out the win. Plus, you have the number one ranked running back in Bijan Robinson, who is making plays, and it's absolutely insane to see. They've got Drake London back in the mix. He scored a touchdown, but no Kyle Pitts. That's really hurting my fantasy, so if Arthur Smith can get his finger out and get Kyle Pitts the ball, that would be great. The Bills decimated the Raiders, and they jumped out to an early lead. And really, they never looked back. Josh Allen corrected his mistakes from week one, where the Jets were able to get 3 interceptions. Jordan Whitehead actually got a $250,000 bonus for getting his same interception target from last year in one game. Josh Allen didn't have any interceptions this one. Completed 31 passes out of 37, 2 touchdowns. Jimmy Garoppolo, nah, not so good. 2 interceptions, 5 passes deflected. Now, the offensive line held up for the Raiders, not a single sack. So what happened with the passing game? What happened with Josh Jacobs, who didn't get involved? There's a lot of questions here that need to be answered, and yeah, that'll be interesting to watch. Okay, the Ravens improved to 2-0. They took down the divisional rivals, the Bengals, in a close 27-24 battle in which Lamar Jackson was asked to beat them through the air, and he absolutely did it with a 72% completion on 237 yards, and he even got Nelson Aguilar into the mix.
Throwing babies out the window. We was catching them, unlike Aguilar and his mishaps. I like to put that out there.
To the credit of the Bengals, they pretty much eliminated Zay Flowers from this game. Unfortunately for the Bengals, the Ravens did exactly the same thing to Ja'Marr Chase, which meant they had to rely on T. Higgins. Now, he did well, over 100 yards and 2 touchdowns, but there's something not clicking there. And I don't know if it's just Joe Burrow's injury or it's the play calling, but there's something different from last year. And until that is resolved, it's not looking good. Okay, the Seahawks and Lions went to overtime. The Seahawks, missing both starting tackles, were able to come out the victor in a 37-31 thriller. Now, this absolutely ruined my survivor pick. I didn't see the Seahawks doing this with the tackles missing, but hey, they were able to play a game very well. There was some regression from Geno Smith, In this one, I had a big sack on a third down late in the fourth quarter, a 17-yard sack, and that allowed the Lions enough time to get up the field and get a game-tying field goal. Now, Jared Goff on this one, he was creeping up the all-time consecutive passes without an interception. Now, this is Jared Goff, who was drafted by the Rams, was dreadful under Jeff Fisher, marginally better with Sean McVay, Super Bowl caliber, and then just completely drops off. He's now third all-time in consecutive passes without an interception. It's pretty impressive. Unfortunately, Amon-Ra St. Brown went down with an injury on this one. It's unlikely he's going to be playing week three. So they have Josh Reynolds as their number one wide receiver, which will make it interesting going forward. So yeah, the Seahawks were able to beat the Lions to go 1-1. Both teams are 1-1, and it's quite interesting for the NFC playoffs how that's going to match out. Okay, the Colts and Texans definitely did not go to overtime. Anthony Richardson was able to become a highlight machine in the first half with two rushing touchdowns and only three carries. However, the big lumpy boy hit his noggin on the ground and ended up in concussion protocol. The Texans, with CJ Stroud, were able to come back with some garbage time scores. They showed potential, but Gardner Minshew was able to control the ship. And yeah, 23 throws, competent, almost perfect 83% completion there and no interceptions. He did exactly what he needed to do. Zach Moss came in, looked good with the rushing attack. He averaged 4.9 yards per carry, which is perfect. Chiefs and Jaguars ended up in a low-scoring punt fest. Chiefs and Texans. The first touchdown coming with 27 seconds left of the first half. Now, sadly for the Jags, the Chiefs also scored a touchdown to begin the second half. And both those drives were 7 plays and 3.5 minutes each, which is just insane. So if you have the Chiefs with a 7-play, 3.5-minute drive, they're going to end with a touchdown, apparently. That's how it looks. The Jaguars, they just couldn't get anything going on offense. They ended the day with 5 punts and 2 turnovers on downs. Definitely a rough day at the office for them. It's a potential playoff game. Hopefully both teams will be better on offense, so it's a bit more entertaining. However, defensively, if you're into that, what a game. Okay, now I don't know why, but Baker Mayfield is finding success in the Buccaneers, and it's actually enjoyable to watch. Every time we went to the Tampa game on Red Zone, it felt like we were seeing him run around for about 30 seconds, and then he was either picking up a first down and more yards on his feet, or he was finding a receiver down the field. Now, for Bears fans, wasn't pretty viewing. And I don't know if this is just because the coaches don't want Justin Fields to do a lot, or if he's just trying to do too much. And I think this is something that he mentioned on his media day on Wednesday, where he said he just needed to get free and be himself. Now, I don't know if that's down to the coaching staff just saying, you need to be doing this, you need to be looking at your reads here, and then going here, and going here, and it's just in his mind of trying to focus on what he's doing, or if they're actually forcing him to become a pocket passer, first of all, and if it's not there, then to run. And I think you just need to be like, look, find the gap, go, be like George Russell in Singapore. Anyway, the Bucks won this one with ease, 27-17, and they're a sneaky 2-0 on the season. Watch out for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And we managed to get our big man score, which means we have a big man of the week, which is Trey Pipkins of the Los Angeles Chargers. Now, he is tied 35th in offensive lineman rankings, and really it's his run blocking that's letting him down. But he did receive a 2-point conversion. So, big man of the week. Well done, Trey Pipkins. Unfortunately, it wasn't enough to get you past the Titans, who went to overtime and beat the Chargers 27-24, taking them 1-1 on the season. And that leaves the Chargers 0-2, staring into the abyss. Now, that abyss is rumored to see Brandon Staley being fired if the results keep on like this. That is a rumor that is going around. They have the Vikings next. Could it be a week 3 firing? It'll be interesting to see. Okay, now the New York Giants, my wife, New York Giants, went 6 quarters without scoring a point to start the season. 6 quarters. And they were able to come back and win against the Arizona Cardinals. They turned around a 28-7 deficit with 24 unanswered points. And they managed to win 31-28. Now, yes, the Cardinals were everyone's pick to go 0-17 to get Caleb Williams and be the number one pick. But they were in control of this game for 35 minutes. And the Giants just somehow woke up and came back. Now, this did come with a cost. Saquon Barkley has a non-high ankle sprain, which will see him out of Thursday Night Football against the 49ers. And likely missing week 4 as well. Not great. Okay, back to the LA-based teams. And the 49ers were actually able to enjoy a home opener based on the amount of fans in the stadium against the Rams. And this was actually quite the contest. Christian McCaffrey decided to have himself a game. And if Brandon Ayuk was not injured, I think this would have been a different outcome. But really, the 49ers were in control of this one. Matthew Stafford was able to connect with Puka Nacua for 147 yards. That rookie is looking like something special. But the real story here for the Rams was Kyron Williams and coming up as the number one running back. 100 yards from scrimmage, 2 touchdowns on 20 touches. Against the 49ers defense, that's really good. But yeah, the 49ers had enough to win this one. The Rams aren't fully there. Obviously, Cooper Kupp's still injured. But this is looking like it's going to be a 2-way race for the NFC West. Maybe a 3-way if the Seahawks are good enough. But these two are definitely the best two teams in the division. And that was a 30-27 win for the 49ers, as I said. Which was a lot closer. Fully in control for this one. The Rams looking good, but that's it. Now, imagine scoring a Hail Mary with the last play of the game. And then you go for your 2-point try to tie the game. And you don't complete it. Well, that's what happened to the Denver Broncos. Now, I say they didn't complete the 2-point conversion. There may have been pass interference. And by may have been pass interference, I mean there was pass interference that was not called. The Commanders were able to get away with that one. And they were able to beat the Colorado side 35-33. Which means that the Washington Commanders are another sneaky 2-0 team. The Broncos are looking really well in this one. Again, for the most part, bit of a struggle. But when it came down to it, was able to put that there. Russell Wilson has 5 touchdowns in 2 games. He is 3rd in touchdown passes. Last year, it took him about 8 weeks to get 5 touchdown passes. Now, he's a lot closer to his bathroom touchdown target. I don't know if people are aware of that. He's got 13 bathrooms in his house. So last year, there was a thing about how many touchdowns is he going to get next to his bathrooms. So we're at 5 so far. So we've only got another 8 to go. He did beat it last year. He got 16. But that's interesting there. The Washington Commanders, again, they're 2-0. The same as the Cowboys and the Eagles.
Are they a pretender or the real deal?
Pretender?
Time will tell.
Are they the real deal? As you might have guessed, the Dallas Cowboys were able to win against an Aaron Rodgers-less New York Jets. And it was quite the beating that they put on. Now, they didn't have the beating that they had in week 1 against the Giants. But they were able to make a great defense. And make no mistake, the Jets' defense is great. They managed to make them look average. Dak didn't actually have to do a lot in the grand scheme of things because the play call was so good. That was the highest quarterback rating that the Jets have allowed since September of last year. So, a great performance there. But the Dallas defense was the star of the show. They had 3 interceptions, a fumble recovery, and they were only on the field for a third of the game. Now, don't get me wrong, the Jets, there's still promise there. I don't think it's going to be the heights that we were expecting coming into the season without Aaron Rodgers. But if you're able to run the ball and have a lead instead of chasing the game, it's going to be a good season. So don't fall behind early. Dalvin Cook, if you can hold on to the ball, maybe get some running in there. Give Brees Hall some time to recover from his injury. I think you've got a chance. Okay. Sunday Night Football, the Miami Dolphins were able to control this primetime showdown in Foxborough. They went up 2 scores quite early in the game and they kept that lead for the majority of the game and actually for the full game until they won. The Patriots, the box score is a lot better than it actually looks. There wasn't really a threat here. The Dolphins didn't really have to get a second gear. It was a very comfortable win, but Christian Gonzalez, the rookie cornerback from the Patriots, shut down Tyreek Hill. So that absolute performance, well done. The impact player for the Patriots. He could be, if he gets more primetime or highlights like that, a stud and defensive rookie of the year. But that's the bright spot from the Patriots there. Okay, now, Monday night, doubleheader. We got 2 divisional matchups. So we had the Saints-Panthers logging out in the NFC and the Browns-Steelers in the AFC. Now, the Saints, they were able to overcome the Panthers. There wasn't really a lot in this game. There was a lot of field goals and punts. But once the Saints got marching, the only thing that held them back was Derek Carr's inaccuracy. Jamal Williams went down with a hamstring issue, so they had to rely on Toby Jones and quarterback / tight end / whoever gadget player Taysom Hill in the running game. Through the air, it wasn't good, but against this Panthers defense, without J.C. Horn and a load of injuries throughout the game, it really should have been better. Chris Olave did get a touchdown, but again, they need to perform better. And Derek Carr said that in his post-game interview. In the Browns and the Steelers game, the Browns were not able to get any momentum at all. And that was actually made worse when they lost Nick Chubb to a devastating injury, which could be the end of his career. He's definitely out for the end of this season. Now, I've not watched this game live. I watched the highlights and I have not seen this injury, but I'm not going to watch this injury. I've seen a picture of it. Legs should not bend in that direction, and that's all I'm going to say. The Steelers were able to come out with this one, the victor, with a 26-22 win. And the amazing thing is, they didn't play a single down in the Cleveland 30 yards. Amazing. So, the 30 yards of Cleveland, not a single down was played by the Steelers on offense, and they were able to score 26 points. The defense was spectacular. TJ Watt scored his first career touchdown, which is quite shocking, actually, since he's been in the league for about 4-5 years now. But yeah, the Steelers won, and that was week 2. In regards to our picks, Football Baby went 10-6 this week, and I went 10-6. So that takes me to 20-12 on the season, and it takes Football Baby to 16-16. Okay, now for Thursday Night Football preview. The New York Giants are taking on the 49ers. Now, a lot of people are saying this is going to be a bloodbath. The 49ers are absolutely going to wipe the floor with the Giants. And to be fair, the Giants don't have Saquon Barkley. They're missing their left tackle, Andrew Thomas, and their linebacker, Azeez Ojulari, who missed the week 1 opener against the Cowboys. and came back in week two, and you could see the difference in the defense once they got going. So it's very understandable, but it is a short week. And the question is, how much do the 49ers want to use Christian McCaffrey and Debo, George Kittle, all in a short week? So there's not a lot of recovery time. Obviously, they've got recovery time on the back end of it, but it's a short week. And these Thursday night games have a way of being really weird. So I think this one's going to be a lot closer than is being made out. Not overly close, but I don't think it's going to be a destruction. I think Nick Bosa will get his first sack of the season. I think Daniel Jones will actually be able to make some plays. Darius Slayton, Jalen Hyatt, Darren Waller probably get some catches, maybe a touchdown for Darren Waller. But the 49ers have more than enough to handle this. And I know I said it's not going to be a destruction. I think they will be able to handle it. And I've got a 27-14 49ers win. Thanks for listening to This Offensive Line. Please subscribe, leave a comment, and rate. Thank you.